Anyone who's been listening to public radio for the past several months has heard extensive coverage of the uprisings in the Middle East and North Africa, from Tunisia to Egypt to Libya. And this Sunday, Utahns will get the chance to hear an up-close account of the ongoing Libyan revolution against Muammar Gaddafi. Benghazi native Dr. Hussein El-Hafifi is director of the Arabic Studies program at the University of Washington in Seattle. This Sunday at 2 p.m., he'll speak on the atrocities committed by the Gaddafi regime and provide his eyewitness account of this year's uprising. I spoke with Dr. El-Hafifi from his home in Washington. Before we get to the recent pro-democracy movement, as someone who was born in Benghazi, what other repression and human rights violations have you witnessed from Muammar Gaddafi going back several decades now?
When Gaddafi took over in a military coup in September 1st, 1969, in the same 1976-77, mm-hmm. he hanged many people who really basically simply demonstrated for their rights at the universities in Benghazi and in Tripoli. He hanged these people in the streets of Benghazi, and he forced the traffic, so people actually had to really pass by, and it was televised on the state TV. So all people to basically really make everybody is, that's basically the message was for people to really fear this regime. That's one, and the hanging and jailing innocent people continued through the 70s and 80s, and one of the major crime that the regime committed is in a jail called Abu Slim, was in the city of Tripoli, where more than 1,200 innocent Libyans were murdered in one day, and these people actually their own people did not know that they were murdered till 2001 and 2002. They were actually even sending them food and gifts and pictures, and the guards were receiving those, but without actually informing their families till 5 or 6 years later. That was one of the many atrocities that the regime committed. Of course, the regime also sent involved Libyans in wars in against Chad and Uganda, and they sent many innocent people, Libyans who actually they were not even trained to fight, but they were killed in these wars. So the really atrocities of the brutality of the regime continued from the very beginning till finally when the you know the 2011 revolution started. Mm-hmm. So from the very beginning, obviously, it was a very bloody coup that started that continued through for 42 years of committing atrocities against its own citizens.
So you were in Benghazi to visit your mother back in February of this year when this year's revolution against Gaddafi began. Was there a particular moment where you knew that this was going to be monumental? This was just going to be a huge, full-scale revolution?
When I arrived, actually, I arrived the same day, the 17th of February, in the evening, in the late afternoon, and I visited my mother in the hospital. But after that, I passed by the area where there was the demonstrators in a peaceful demonstrations. But the police, the riot police, were there, and basically the killing started at that moment, and. What the because of all these 40 years, plus 42 years of the oppression against the citizens of Libya, basically also the fact that the Tunisian and the Egyptian revolution were successful. The Tunisian started in December, and then followed by the Egyptians in January. That actually inspired the Libyan people to really uprise. Definitely, when the killing started, and considering all these years of you know, this is accumulation of abuse through all these years, people actually they have no other choice except to revolt against this dictator and his cronies that really and his family and his kids, who actually were basically ruling them very ruthlessly. And I felt like there is no point of return. Obviously, he's fighting for his survival, but at the same, people are not going to forget the thousands of people who were in jail and people who were actually killed in the cities in Benghazi and other cities in Zawiya and Zawara and the western mountain of Libya, as well as in Misrata. These people, obviously, they have no other choice. When you have a leader that declared the war against his own people, and his son is telling people, he's telling the Libyan people, either we will rule you or we will kill you. His father, the dictator of Libya, is saying to he's calling his own people that they are greasy rats, that they were going to chase you in every corner in the country, till we eliminate all of you. So the Libyan people obviously have no choice except to continue the revolution, and definitely at the end they will win. This dictator obviously politically is really dead, and his days, we really believe that they are really numbered.
Were you actually afraid for your life while you were there in Benghazi with, you know, tanks and Gaddafi, you know, trying to crack down on the rebels or using, you know, violence against them?
I was not afraid at all. I had chances. There were days where it was very dangerous even to walk out of the house. We lived very close to the garrison that had his mercenaries and his troops fighting and shooting at people randomly. But I could have really left the country at almost any time I wanted to, either through sea or through the eastern border between Libya and Egypt. I really, really, I saw this dictator take over in 1969, and I was actually, I saw history in the making. I was so happy what was taking place, and I wanted very much to be part of it. And I was hoping that I would not like to leave till I see him go. We the trajectory was like it would probably take a week or two or three, but obviously it took longer. The resilience and the courage of the Libyan people, and the persistent that definitely we are really know that eventually he will be defeated. But obviously it took longer for me, and I had to really come back to my job in the United States, and I left Libya in the 7th of April.
This is Politics Up Close on KCBW. We're speaking with Dr. Hussein El Khafifi, a native of Benghazi, Libya, and director of the Arabic Studies Program at the University of Washington. He'll speak at the Salt Lake City Main Library this Sunday afternoon at 2. Dr. El Khafifi, what do you think of the United States' level of involvement in the conflict, and do you think there should actually be troops on the ground at this point?
No, actually, I don't really think that the Libyan people want troops on the ground, and I personally support that. I think the United States actually really supported the Libyan people in their struggle, and so did the French and the British, and NATO as well. And all we want is really basically from the United States, since they already acknowledge that this regime is really illegitimate, is to really recognize the transitional council. That's all we're asking, and we're asking for the our assets to, you know, to get some help financially, because we have a transitional council in dire need to run the country in a time of war. And we have more than $30 billion of frozen assets in the United States alone. And all we want, that's really, we believe this is the Libyan people's money. And all we need is some support to defend ourselves, to get some of that money to defend ourselves. But we don't really want any troops on the ground. What we received from the West and the United States and France in particular is really great, and we're very appreciative of what the United States and the United States administration is helped so far. But troops on the ground, the Libyans people actually are they don't want, even if it were offered.
Mm-hmm. Once Gaddafi is gone, are there going to be many different factions competing against each other to take power?
You know, I do believe that with the suffering of the Libyan people that took 4 decades, I really don't anticipate any struggle for power. I cannot tell you this for sure. It's too early to talk about this. But I really do. We have the brain base, and we have people who are very enthusiastic and very highly intellectuals, and people who are volunteering their time. The people who are in the council now actually are volunteering their time, and we do have people who are from the opposition, from inside the country and outside of the country, and all these people are united against this dictator and the bloodbath that he caused for the Libyan people, or to the Libyan people. But at the same time, we really actually very united, and we had constitutions institutions before, and we had a constitution before Gaddafi took over, and now there is people are actually studying this and also preparing for eventually the elections and voting for a constitution. And I really don't. I think the people of Libya are united more than ever before. And I really do believe that it will be smoother and faster than many people think.
And as you mentioned, you were hoping that he would be out of power while you were still in the country, but obviously it's gone on for longer than that. Do you think we'll see a resolution by the end of 2011 or sooner than that, perhaps during the summer? What does it look like to you right now?
What it looks like to me now, with the intensified campaign by the NATO forces and also the liberation of many cities, and also the many people abandoning him, you know, many of his close cronies are actually abandoning him.
Right.
And among the diplomats and cabinet ministers, and also many people from the army are actually joining the uprising. I really do believe that it's going to be really this time is shorter than many people anticipate. I really do believe it will probably not take more than 4 or 5 weeks before this regime is finally toppled.
Do you anticipate Gaddafi himself trying to flee to another country? And if so, what countries would be willing to take him at this point?
I really don't think that he will flee. I think he, this guy, is very highly unpredictable, and he is definitely a pathological liar, a man with two personalities, both evil. I think this is the only thing that he said is right, is the fact that he's going to chase people from inch by inch, room to room, street by street, city by city.
Right.
So I think it got to the point of really no return for him. I don't think that no country will accept him. There were probably rumors that he probably will go to Venezuela and other countries. Now he is being chased by the international law, international courts. I don't really think that he will leave. One thing that every Libyan hopes that he will be captured alive, so he will pay for the atrocities and the crimes against humanity that he committed.
So you think it's likely he would be tried there in Libya and then most likely executed?
I don't know if he will be captured alive. If he did, I think it's. It will be really definitely that we really do feel very strongly that he has to be tried in Libya his execution sometimes is really too nice for somebody like that. I would like to see him spend the rest of his life in jail.
You were talking earlier, Dr. El-Khafifi, about the transitional council. Tell me more about that and how this process is actually going to work once he is gone. And do you see a point where, you know, there are completely free and fair elections without any sort of, you know, rigging whatsoever by the government?
The transitional council actually is consisted of people started out in Benghazi and and it has members from all the liberated cities, including the cities that are still struggling and fighting in a city like such as Tripoli and others that are still under the control of Gaddafi. These people. Many of them I know personally. These people are very liberal, very highly educated. Many of them got their education in this country and in Europe and other countries. These people are very patriotic, and they spent many years of their life opposing the regime. And the regime know about these people, and they actually threatened to kill them. These people are very, 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 very patriotic, very highly motivated, and I really do believe that that eventually this transitional council will eventually lead the nation for a period of time, maybe less than a year or so, and then eventually we will have elections. I think people really actually tasted the freedom. I don't think that there is a way for them to really have a fight to really control the country. In a dictatorship is definitely cannot really be accepted by the Libyan people anymore. I cannot really predict what will happen in the future. I'm sure it's not going to be. There will be many challenges for the council and the people of Libya in general. But I think eventually it will be a very democratic and a very successful country. I have no doubt about that.
And is there any kind of legislative body like Congress or Parliament in Libya right now? There's not, I'm guessing, right?
For the time being, we only have the transitional council. That's all we have. Before Gaddafi took over, we had some institutions and we had Parliament and we had a constitution. That obviously it has to be revisited and revamped, and people have to vote on it once the regime is finished. But we don't have anything for the time being. But the council is very supported by all the Libyan people, so that's the only legitimate body that we have for the time being.
We've been speaking with Dr. Hussein El-Khafifi. He's the director of the Arabic and Islamic Studies program at the University of Washington, and will be speaking this Sunday right here at the Salt Lake City Main Library in the auditorium. Dr. El-Khafifi, we appreciate your time so much. Thank you.
Certainly welcome.
Dr. El-Khafifi will begin speaking at the library this Sunday at 2 p.m., His lecture is sponsored by the City Library, the Middle East Center and Tanner Humanities Center at the University of Utah, and the Islamic Society of Greater Salt Lake. This is Politics Up Close on NPR Utah, KCBW.